May the Lord help us to commence this service with part of hymn number 814, verse 1 and then verses 7 to 12. Brethren, why toil ye thus for toys, and reckon trash for treasure? Call gay deceptions solid joys, intoxication pleasure. Hymn 814, verse 1, and then from verse 7 to the end.
Thank you. holy word of God. We shall read firstly from the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 37, reading the first 14 verses, and then Ephesians chapter 2. The prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 37, reading the first 14 verses. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come out, up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. If we now turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all of the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his own holy word and help us as we would come before him now in prayer. Most holy and almighty Lord God, do breathe now into our hearts that breath of living prayer. Or might there be prayer within our prayers. Lord, teach us to pray. O grant the help and influence of thy Holy Spirit. For of a truth we know not what to pray for as we ought. Oh, but may the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart and knoweth the mind of God. Oh, that we might so ask in accordance to thy most holy, sovereign, eternal will. Oh, we do thank thee for the throne of thy grace, that we might come unto the Father through the Lord Jesus by the eternal Spirit. Oh, the blessed, glorious Trinity, all concerned in our salvation. O Lord Jesus, help us to look to thee as the mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But all to approach the throne of grace, and to behold the mercy seat sprinkled with the precious blood of Jesus, and that a new and a living way has been made, that sinners may approach unto God. Lord, we are sinners. Oh, we would come just as we are, poor, fallen, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. In my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. O Lord, do teach us to confess all our sins unto thee, and to leave no stone unturned. Oh, and may that confession not come as a mockery merely from the lips. Oh, but may there be that wrought of God that cometh forth from the depths of the heart, the broken heart, the broken contrite spirit, like that dear one of old who could not so much as lift his eyes up unto heaven, but would smite upon his breast, crying out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, teach us our need of mercy. Teach us our need of salvation. Oh, and as we have been singing, teach us our need of Jesus. He who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, or the once crucified, but now risen, exalted Saviour, at the right hand of the Father in glory above. Or that we might so be brought and taught to feel our need of him as our only hope of mercy, salvation, redemption, and deliverance. O Lord, do work in us, we humbly pray, of thine own good will and pleasure. O, but save us for thy mercy's sake. Lord, do remember each one that has gathered here tonight. And may the gathering of the people be unto thee. Lord, thou knowest how we have come, and whether we have come prayerfully, or whether we have come prayerlessly, whether we have come with that concern for our souls, or whether we have come with no concern at all. O Lord, remember those who have come prayerfully, desiring that portion for their soul, desiring that word in season, hungering after the bread of heaven, thirsting after the water of life. Those who have come with a real need, a real burden. O Lord, those who have come seeking that crumb from under the Master's table, yet feeling to be so unworthy, so undeserving. It is not meet to take of the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs from under the Master's table. O, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with a children's bread, or that crumb of mercy. Give me, Christ, or else I die. Remember seeking souls. Remember asking souls. Remember knocking souls, those striving to enter in at the strait gate, those longing to make their calling and their election sure, those longing to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, my Lord and my God, those longing to know their sins forgiven, their iniquities pardoned, their transgressions covered over, those longing to know that they are found clothed upon with that glorious spotless robe of Christ's righteousness, even for their justification. All those longing that the blessed Spirit might so bear witness with their spirit, that they are the sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Remember any who may have come with providential needs, who need thee to appear, who need thee to provide, who need thee to undertake, who need thee to guide, who need thee to teach. O Lord, thou knowest. Lord, if any have come unconcerned, unfeeling, or could it please thee to touch their hearts, to awaken them, to convict, convince them of their sins and their need of salvation and their need of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. None other name given us under heaven amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Lord, bless each one from the youngest to the eldest. Remember the children, the young people growing up into life. We beg, Lord, that thy holy tender fear might be planted deep into their hearts, that they might seek thee early in life. O Lord, who keep them from the wickedness and evils and corruptions and vanities of this world. Might they be taught of God. Lord, remember parents. Oh, grant all needed wisdom, understanding and grace to bring our children up aright. Remember all in the midst of life, with the many cares, burdens, responsibilities. Or might it be that as by days, so shall thy strength be. Lord, remember older friends also, and in the time of old age with its attendant infirmities, afflictions, weaknesses, or be very merciful and gracious unto them still. O Lord, who ever bless them and help them and undertake for them. Bless this cause of truth. Lord, bless the church here. Oh, may they be blessed with that peace, brotherly love and unity. And grant them true prosperity, the Lord adding such as shall be saved. Remember the officers in the church and grant them all needed help and wisdom and grace. And remember each one in the congregation. We would lovingly pray for those unable to venture out tonight, whether through illness, sickness, affliction, weariness, those at home with the little ones, any that may be away at this time. Lord, remember each and every one, and do be pleased to go to them where they are, and bless them indeed. Lord, if it be thy holy will, do yet draw others in here. May prodigals return. Those who have gone off into a far-off country, may they be brought into want. And Lord, may they be humbled under the mighty hand of God and brought to remember their father's house and to return pleading for mercy. Dear Lord, could it please thee yet to constrain, or if need be, compel others also to enter in. Oh, crying out for salvation, crying out for the truth as it is in Jesus. Remember thy servants who come here from time to time. Lord, may they come as the Lord's messengers, in the Lord's message. Own and bless thy word, ministered here. Oh Lord, may it go forth in divine power, unction, authority, reaching unto the heart. And oh, could it yet please thee to provide for thy people here an under-shepherd, a pastor, one to go in and out amongst them. Dearest Lord, oh remember Zion, oh shine upon the churches, lest they die. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And O dearest Lord, do yet mercifully raise up, equip and send forth more ministers of the gospel. The need is so great. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Sent of God. Lord, have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. Oh, what can we say? We sigh and cry over the abominations done in our land. We see the awful desecration of thy day. And Lord, we know that thou art not mocked, that what a man soweth, that also shall he reap. Likewise with a nation. Oh, we are ripe for thy judgments, ripe to reap the whirlwind of thy wrath against us. Lord, hear the cries of the little remnant. Lord, have mercy. remember thy people throughout the whole earth. We pray especially for those suffering persecution, imprisonment, beatings, deprivations. Lord, remember those suffering from what is termed natural disasters. For we do believe amongst those there are some of thy dear children. Lord, remember them. O Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us now and replenish our bread basket. Lord, do help us as we return to thy word. Oh, send out thy light. Send out thy truth. Compassion on us have, we pray, and empty send us not away, for we would see Jesus begging the pardon and forgiveness of our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 372. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. Hymn 372.
Thank you.
In complete and utter dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 37, reading verses 4 and 5. Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 4 and 5. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 4 and 5. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. With the Lord's help, I seek to speak from this text in four ways this evening. Firstly, as it concerned Ezekiel and the children of Israel at that time. Secondly, as these words show forth the regeneration of every child of God by the blessed eternal Spirit. Thirdly, concerning the child of God who feels to be like those bones, dry and dead and lifeless. And then fourthly, and perhaps in the context how Ezekiel was led to speak unto the children of Israel, as we find Zion in the day and age in which we live. Ezekiel was a priest of God. He also was a prophet of God. It is probable that he was amongst the inhabitants of Jerusalem when the king of Babylon came and took away many captives. We know that Ezekiel was of the captives brought forth out of Jerusalem, out of the land of Judah, and were taken off into that far-off country, away from the land of their nativity, away from the place of their birth. Why were they taken away? Really, because they, the children of Israel, had turned away from the Lord. That land which once was a land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, the land the Lord gave unto his people, the land the Lord brought his people into, the land that prospered. And when we consider it in the perhaps latter days of David, and more especially when Solomon was king, the most famous and prosperous land upon the whole face of the earth at that time. And yet by and by the children of Israel turned from serving the Lord, and they turned to the heathen gods and the idols and the Baals and so on. They forsook the Lord their God. And though the Lord raised up and sent forth his prophets to warn them concerning their ways, and though the Lord in his mercy raised up godly kings, not in the northern kingdom of Israel, but more in the southern kingdom of Judah, those kings such as Asa, Jehoshaphat, and Hezekiah, and Josiah, those who truly loved and feared the Lord. And it's worth just mentioning concerning the time of Hezekiah, when already the northern kingdom were being taken away into captivity, and how that wicked king sent Rabshakeh and surrounded Jerusalem, threatening its overthrow. And such it would have been that we have two godly men leading the nation. We have Hezekiah the king. We have Isaiah the prophet. And how they prayed and cried unto the Lord to deliver them. And the Lord heard. And the Lord answered. And the Lord delivered. And yet sadly, the children of Judah continued in provoking the anger of God by their worshipping of idols. And by and by, that time came when they were taken all into captivity. We think of the anguish and sorrow of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and just reading through that book of Lamentations of grief, that once famous city Jerusalem was now being broken down and burned with fire. And all the inhabitants, some were slain, others were taken away into captivity. And amongst those we find Ezekiel. Can we imagine the distress of those captives in that foreign land? Can we imagine the anguish and distress and nigh on despair that they were in at that solemn time? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. And yet the Lord would take Ezekiel, would give him this vision, would bring him to this valley full of these bones which were very dry, as if to emphasize absolutely no moisture or no life in them whatsoever. Then that question the Lord put to Ezekiel, Son of man, can these bones live? It seemed an impossibility to see these bones littered upon this valley. How can it be possible, remotely possible, for these bones, which were very dry, to live? And yet Ezekiel was a man of God. He was a man of faith. He believed in the power of God. He believed in the mercy of God. O Lord God, thou knowest. And in our text he is instructed to prophesy upon these bones. And he did not turn round and say, there is no point. What's the point in prophesying to these? They could never live. But no, he was a man of God. He obeyed his master. He believed in the power of God through his blessed spirit. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We read, is it in the book of Proverbs, that where the word of a king is, there is power. And also we have that word, I believe, in Isaiah concerning the effect of God's word. There are too many who profess Christianity who try to speak of a disappointed God. There are, no doubt, in places tonight, so-called ministers literally jumping up and down, inviting all and sundry to come to Christ. It's your duty to do so, and so on. And because there's no response, or very little response, does it not depict a disappointed God, unable to save? No, that can never, ever, ever be. Hear the word of God. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So we have there a natural scene that the crops in the field can only survive and bring forth fruit as long as the Lord sends down that natural rain to water the crops. Yes, of course, they need the sunshine as well. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hear the word of the Lord. And not just in hearing, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will cause breath. That word breath is in the original Hebrew exactly the same word in the beginning of the sacred scriptures as we read of the Spirit, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, and there was life. And this word breath also in the original can mean the wind. And we see the Holy Spirit as the breath of God and as a wind of God causing that effect whereby there shall be life. So we have the prophet prophesying as he was commanded, obedient to the commandment of God, and the effect as he prophesied, the bones came together, the sinews came upon them, the flesh also and the skin. And then he must prophesy unto the wind, as it were prophesying unto the wind of God. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I want to move on now to the second point concerning the Spirit's work of regeneration in every child of God. Now, the Lord Jesus, speaking so clearly, ye must be born again. And unless and until a soul is truly born again, he is yet dead in trespasses and in sins. I felt led to read to you that chapter in Ephesians 2, for there we have very clearly set before us what it is for one who is still dead in trespasses and sins. That is, walking according to the course of the world. The child of God is commanded to come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. The child of God is plucked as a brand of the burning out of that broad way which leadeth unto destruction. And he is led and taught by the Holy Spirit. He strives to enter into the straight gate, that he be found walking in that narrow way by faith, looking unto Jesus, that way that leadeth unto eternal life. But the worldling walks according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, even Satan, the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And do we not read that a carnal mind is enmity against God, an enemy of God, warring against God and the ways of God and the word of God? And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, it will be our eternal mercy if we are found in what follows. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And almost always, when the Lord begins that work of grace in a sinner's heart, he causeth that sinner to hear the word of God, hear the word of the Lord, not only through that natural hearing of our ears, but the hearing by faith into the depths of the heart. Oh, the word of God, which is like that two-edged sword, so sharp, so powerful, and it enters in. Oh, the Lord causes his word to enter into the soul, and there will be that effect. Now, like naturally speaking, as a seed goes into the ground, and again we think of that parable of the sower the Lord Jesus spoke of, it is a prepared ground, and only the Spirit can prepare a soul to receive the holy word of God, which must enter in. And for a time, it may be hidden. As naturally, we plant our seeds, whether in the fields or in our gardens or in the pots, and for a time, they are hidden. They cannot be seen, not by the natural eye. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And though we cannot see them, that seed, once implanted, it begins to live. There is that growth downward, that taking of root. There is also that growth upward as it strains, if I can use that word, towards the light. And there is something very special there. In that child of God taught by the Holy Spirit, there is that taking of root downward. One who feels to be a guilty, fallen, miserable, hell-deserving sinner. One who feels to be so full of guilt, and so full of sin, and so wicked. And yet, that growth upward, as he cries out for mercy. And in crying out for mercy, the Holy Spirit, who has begun that work of grace, will continue that work of grace and will lead that soul unto the light. Jesus draws his chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace, causing them to hear his voice and before his power to fall. Hear the word of the Lord. It is appointed unto men once to die. That is the word of the Lord. And really all of us here tonight know that one day we shall die, because it is appointed unto men once to die. Oh, let the modern day scientist say and try whatever he will never, ever overthrow the word of God. for it is appointed unto men once to die. How many would like the word of the Lord to end there? How many would like to believe in annihilation? How many more would like to believe that everybody, as long as you're good and uprightly moral, will go to what they call heaven? But the word of God continues. And after death, the judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There will be that most awful, solemn separation between, as Christ calls them, the sheep and the goats. That eternal separation. The word of the Lord only speaks of heaven and hell and no other. And by nature, we as sinners who have broken the holy law of God, we deserve to be cast into hell forever and ever and ever. And yet the soul that has been awakened, the soul that has been quickened into spiritual life, will know this as a truth. He may try to kick against the pricks in the conscience. He may try that reformation of his life. He may try to please or appease an holy God. But he will find and he will prove, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. He may try to save himself, but he shall prove an utter failure. He may lean upon an arm of flesh for his salvation, but he shall prove that arm of flesh an utter failure. But where the Holy Spirit is at work, he will lead that soul unto the Saviour of sinners. I was very touched by our opening hymn. Dear Joseph Hart, I'm sure, was the author of it. He speaks most beautifully concerning Christ and Christ's salvation. And also in so many of his hymns, he speaks of how the child of God is brought and led to desire that one thing needful, that saving knowledge of the precious Jesus. The chief concerns of fallen mankind should be to enjoy God's favour, for by nature we are not in God's favour. What safety can a sinner find before he finds a Saviour? This Saviour must be one that can from sin and death release us, make up the breach twixt God and man, which none can do but Jesus. Yes, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look to him shall he appear the second time without sin, unto salvation. Now the quickened soul, the soul in whom the Holy Ghost has begun that work of grace, will feel its need of a precious Jesus. Oh, being taught of God, will hear the word of the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Is there one here tonight and you feel to be such a guilty sinner, such a wretched sinner, such a vile sinner,
And yet, as the Lord taught you to cry out for mercy, is the publican's prayer your prayer? Oh, not in vain repetition, but in absolute necessity, your cry day and night. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. As it was with Saul of Tarsus, it could be said of him, and it can be said of you, behold, he prayeth. There is that breath of the Spirit in his heart, whereby he crieth unto God for mercy, and he crieth unto God for that salvation by grace through the finished work of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Oh, it's the most blessed thing if we truly feel our need of the Lord Jesus Christ and he alone to save us from all our sins. Oh, it may be that we're tempted, but we're such awful sinners, terrible sinners. How can it be possible that our sins can be forgiven? Here, the word of the Lord. Oh, how beautifully does the Apostle John in his epistle speak concerning the Lord Jesus. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. And again, hear the word of the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, hear the word of the Lord. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Or if you will, he is the mercy seat for our sins. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Oh, the guilty sinner fears death. Oh, he fears the day of his death. Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood, but being taught by the Holy Spirit? He is taught that salvation is by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. And how often even a child of God left to himself can seek to add works unto his salvation, works of repentance, as well as works of self-righteousness. But no, the blessed Spirit, through the word of the Lord, will strip the dear children of God of all their own self-righteousnesses. And that stripping work is painful work, and yet necessary work. I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, as that soul by faith flees to the one and only hiding place, the one and only refuge which a gospel makes known, the one and only hope this man receiveth sinners. And so they come tremblingly, they come reverently, they come humbly, but they come by faith. Give me Christ, or else I die. Or they long to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, it's ever give me Christ, or else I die. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Thirdly, we must speak very briefly concerning any who hope and trust you're in that narrow way which leadeth unto life. You hope and trust through the Lord's rich mercy that that work of grace has begun in your souls. And yet it may be that you feel to be so far off, so hard-hearted. Oh, you may feel to be so wretched, so full of sin, so full of unbelief. And at times you question everything. Can ever God dwell here? Now, it may be that you feel to be such a sinner, and because of your sins, you may feel to be cut off, like the children of Israel were complaining or perhaps bemoaning. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off at our parts. I draw a bow at a venture is the one here tonight. And you feel to be so dried. You feel your hope is lost. Perhaps once you had a hope in the mercy of God. But now your hope is lost. Once you had that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. My beloved is mine and I am his. But you fear it would be presumption to say that now. My hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Oh, it may be very well for me to speak of that covenant of grace once in him forever. That is the truth. But sometimes the child of God is so down and so troubled and so dried, he wonders if a work of grace ever begun in his soul, and whether he is found in that covenant of grace at all. For those of you familiar with Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, will remember that time when Christian was brought into the interpreter's house. And there, amongst other things, the interpreter showed him that scene of that fire in the wall. And that fire was burning. And yet, there was one depicted as Satan, who was casting water upon that fire as if to extinguish it, as if to put it out, if you will, to destroy it. And yet the marvel was, now I believe literally in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the flame grew stronger and stronger. I'm just going to slightly change it. Perhaps sometimes the flame might become exceeding small. And it may be like that smoking flax, wherein the flame is known extinguished. The flame is virtually gone, but that's still that little smoke coming up from. Now, Christian could not understand how that fire could continue with all that water being poured upon it, until he was taken to the other side of the wall. There, unseen, was one pouring oil into the back of that fire, thus keeping it alive. Now, it is a truth that none can keep alive his own soul. Myself I cannot save, myself I cannot keep, but strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. Or to any dear souls here tonight who may feel to be that your bones are dried, your hope is lost, you feel to be cut off for your parts. Have you given up praying? I think not. Ah, you might say nearly. Have you given up groaning? Have you given up sighing? Or have you given up longing, hoping still in the mercy of God? There is still that breath in your soul, that breath for life, which shows that there still is life. And the promise here is of the Lord reviving. But he giveth more grace. You see, it's Satan. It's the world. It's our unbelieving hearts, which are incessantly pouring that water upon the fire to extinguish it, to put it out. It is Satan who ever seeks to destroy and make a shipwreck of the faith that is in the child of God. That's why you have an adversary, an enemy, threatening to overcome, threatening to devour, threatening to destroy. But if God be for us, who then can be against us? Ah, none can keep alive his own soul, but the blessed Spirit can. And though at times we may feel to be so low, so dried, though we may judge in and of ourselves that our hope is lost, we are cut off at our parts. Was it Abraham who hoped against hope? Was it not Jonah from the belly of that great fish who found the throne of grace there and cried out for mercy? Or we could speak of others, but I see time is nearly gone. Finally then, very briefly, concerning the children of Israel in the state they were, they're in captivity, they're far from Jerusalem, and again collectively feeling our bones are dried and our hope is lost, we are cut off at our parts. We're living in very dark days. We're living in very difficult days. We're living in very solemn days. The judgments of God are abroad. And if the judgments must begin at the house of God. You know, Zion is in such a low state. The great cry amongst many in the church is, we need the Lord to appear. May the Lord so sanctify it to us that we cry day and night for the Lord to appear. There's a wonderful promise in the previous chapter towards the end in verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Yes, Jerusalem may be lying desolate. Or it may be such a sad scene with the little fox, because the walls have been broken down, the little foxes have entered in and the vines are being spoilt. And unless the Lord build the house and the walls, they labour in vain that build it. Now we need the Lord to appear. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Ah, can these dry bones live? O Lord God, thou knowest. But our hope is in the mercy of God. Yes, we need the Lord to appear, but thus saith the Lord, hear the word of the Lord, I will yet for this be inquired of. It speaks of prayer. It speaks of supplications. It speaks of begging. It speaks of beseeching. It speaks of pleading with the Lord when the Lord shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of a destitute and not despise their prayer. Oh, might the Lord so stir us up to that true spirit of prayer and of supplications, that he might return in mercies unto Zion and build the walls of Jerusalem. But may the Lord ever give us that single eye to his honour and to his glory. Now, very briefly, in closing, the children of Israel, there in their captivity, they really felt it. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off at our parts because of our sins, because of our guilt. And yet the Lord has sent also into the land of their captivity a Daniel, a Shadrach, a Meshach, and Abednego. The Lord also would raise up a Mordecai. The Lord would raise up an Esther. The Lord would raise up an Ezra. And the Lord would raise up a Nehemiah. And how the Lord would raise them up and use them to bring the children of Israel back to Jerusalem. For I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £585, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field. Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Wallace next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 249. O love divine, how sweet thou art. When shall I find my willing heart all taken up by thee? I thirst and faint and die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to thee. Hymn 249.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost rest and remain amongst us. Amen.